Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Banke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, October 3rd, 2008, looks at the slew of injured Packer players and sets the scene for what is suddenly a crucial matchup with Atlanta. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
My focus is very simple for our team. It's about doing whatever it takes to win and to make sure we're improving each week. And I don't ever get away from that.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Corey.
And this is Aaron.
And today, we'll assess the damage done in Tampa, try to open up the Packer playbook a little, and tell you why the Packers are going to be just fine going forward. So let's get started.
And where do we start? But the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good. We got Charles Woodson.
But you can't even say anything anymore. He's so great.
Greg Jennings.
The offense.
Nick Collins.
The defense.
The bad. We got Nick Barnett.
Nick. Buddy, wrap up. Work done? Really?
Ryan Grant fumbling.
Ryan Grant missing reads. Ryan Grant running out of bounds. Ryan Grant.
Bob Sanders.
Please see the blog.
Moving on to the ugly, we got Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, ouch. First time ever placed in the ugly category.
Ouch.
First time since 2006 his team has lost two games in a row. And just the first time I've really ever seen a Mike McCarthy team just not prepared, not ready. A team just out-hit, out-coached, out-everything, out-desired. Just an ugly, ugly performance all around.
You know who didn't have an ugly performance?
No.
That would be Charles Woodson.
That is correct.
Your NFC Defensive Player of the Month.
Congratulations to Charles Woodson. And you got to admit, the guy is playing lights out. Probably the best football he's played in his entire career. And he's doing it with a fractured toe. That's pretty impressive.
And he's doing it with plays like this.
Packer defense needs a stop right here. We're in the opening minute, fourth quarter. Tampa Bay leading by six. Double tights on the line. Back to throw. Greasy off a slot right. Greasy looking. Dumps it off right side. It's still intercepted by Woodson down the sideline. He's going to go to the house, to the 20, to the 10, to the end zone for the lead score. Touchdown! 58 yards, Charles Woodson!
Charles Woodson is the Brett Favre of our team now.
He is, isn't he?
He is. He's the guy who's on your team that no matter how crappy you're playing, keeps you in the game.
Yeah.
That play.
And raises the entire team.
That wasn't a play that we were down three. That put us in the lead after that touchdown.
Exactly. I mean, the guy, just you need a play, Woodson makes it. I mean, he is single-handedly keeping the Packers alive at this point. I mean, think about it.
He's amazing.
Without Woodson, we are probably 1-3, maybe 0-4. It's kind of ridiculous that he has that much effect on the entire team. And he's a corner, for goodness sake.
Well,
he's missing his counterpart.
The entire secondary. Tremont Williams and Nick Collins. Nick Collins
coming
is starting
play.
To see the game now.
Exactly.
He's getting interceptions consistently. Tremont Williams,
talking,
two interceptions,
we were talking
two games.
Before we started recording, it looks like he's hitting the reads before the quarterback does. He now knows the defense so well that he knows,
finally.
But he knows, okay, the quarterback's going to look here, there's going to be two guys here, I'm going to be here, he's going to think he has an outlet. Like the interception he had when Greasy was going to Stevens was a perfect example. And by the way, that was on a blitz. Yeah, two guys coming off the edge instead of just four.
It helps.
Look what happens.
Pressure.
You get an interception, Bob. It works. But he knew. he saw the play before Greasy did, and Greasy went there thinking he was going to hit Stevens, and Collins just totally jumped it. So, absolutely, the secondary coming to play.
The linebackers.
Linebackers,
and
not so much.
Colin Jenkins is on injured reserve.
Oh.
That's a deflating.
See, you just took the wind right out of my sails there. I was getting so excited about the defense.
It's a deflating fact.
And he was playing so well. I called him out in preseason, and he absolutely answered the bell. It was probably, after Charles Woodson, the best defensive player we had on the team. And now he's done for the year.
You know who's not done for the year, but maybe done this week? Aaron Rodgers.
Ugh. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is his consecutive start streak going to start and stop at 4? Are you kidding me? 200 and something games to 4?
Some of us diehards, when that whole, you know, Favre fiasco crap was going down, were saying, you know, well,
what were you saying? This should be stellar. What were you saying?
Nah, we were all saying it. We were like, hey, is this kid's chapter? Like, hey, Colin Jenkins, is chapter 3 going to be like chapter 4, going to be like chapter 5? And how many chapters do you have to get to before you're like, this is a trend? Even if the injuries aren't the same, even if it's not the same part of the body.
It does look brittle. You got to admit it. And I will say, in my defense, the day Favre retired, I put up a blog post saying that now we get to join the sad fraternity of every other NFL team that has to deal with the quarterback position in a way that Packer fans have not had to deal with it in over 16 years.
Well, and one only has to look at the Bears to see how that can really be really fun.
Can really
play
drag you down. It can really suck for a long, long time.
Well, what about Tim Rete?
You know, like I've written a couple
He's
different places.
He's still out there.
He is still out there. I think the time to sign him was, you know, before training camp.
2 months ago.
So he could learn the offense. Now, it doesn't make any sense. Like, bring him in now doesn't make any point.
No.
There's no point. Let Matt Flynn, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Flynn's going to start on Sunday.
And you know what? If Matt Flynn starts on Sunday, according to Matt Flynn, he's not going to be nervous.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. The interview at his locker. He said, no, there's no way he's going to be nervous. No way.
Let me just tell
you. There's just no way he's going to be nervous.
When I take the Lambo tour and they pipe in the audio and you're walking down the tunnel, I'm nervous, okay?
Taking the tour. But he's going
to
start for the most storied franchise in NFL history on hallowed ground in Lambeau Field. But he's not going to be nervous.
No, he's not. And you know what?
I wish we had a sound for like the BS meter so we could ring it right now.
We do have the Cheesehead TV truck, which I did use
which
today.
Which you broke out today on
the
blog.
Used for Derek Frost.
I was very happy to see it.
The Cheesehead TV truck is now waiting at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. It is waiting for them to put the BS into
and the
it.
And the trash into
that
it.
That is
and have
Derek
it hauled
Frost.
Away. Okay, something I might... There's another aspect to Flynn's interview. That he said he's touched on a little later. Somebody asked him about the speed of the game. Now, his contention was that it was not too fast for him. However, looking at his two series in Tampa, I have trouble with that assessment from young Mr. Flynn.
Well, it's kind of hard to walk in. I mean, it's hard for anyone.
It's hard.
If you put
Brett Favre
in the third quarter at Tampa,
he's going to have some problems.
Staring Monty Kiffin in the face. I mean, look, why can't the Packers? I know this isn't the next thing on our checklist. Actually, our next thing on our checklist is talking about the speed of the game. So let's listen to Matt, who may be starting again. This man may be starting the game on Sunday
in Lambeau Field.
No, I don't think so. You know, I go against a fast defense every day. You know, especially when I'm running the look team and going against the number one defense. You know, those guys fly around and they're very good and fast defense. So the speed of the game really did not, you know, surprise me that much. I kind of knew it, and I'm always on the sidelines, you know, up front watching Aaron play and watching, you know, how the offense versus defense go. It's obviously been different. So it's been, you know, gone from getting, you know, maybe a couple of reps a day with the offense to, you know, getting, you know, almost all of them.
Almost all.
He will get all the reps on Sunday if Aaron Rodgers can't go. And I know that scares a lot of people, but have faith. Mike McCarthy will get it done.
He's going to chuck it for Jesus.
Oh, God. He just needs to run around and make some plays. That's
and
all I want to see.
Make mistakes.
Just don't fumble the ball. Don't throw it to the other team, and we'll be fine.
Exactly.
Really, we will be. Trust us. Trust us, cheeseheads. We'll be fine. But you know what else Mike McCarthy needs to do? Speaking of Mike and needing to do stuff, he needs to get this team back to hitting, tackling, blocking, you know, the building blocks of football.
The fundamentals.
The fundamentals. Thank you. That's exactly what he needs to do. And we have a faithful listener.
Ross.
Ross Highland Park has a great suggestion for coach.
I think I've got an idea for Mike McCarthy. I think he should take the offensive line, and he should work on footwork. He should work on fundamentals and pad level. And I think the offensive line might be able to block the four linemen on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, Ross, I called Mike. I told him what you said. And he came out in his press conference, and this is what he had to say.
I mean, we structured the whole practice with the emphasis on fundamentals. We went more to a training camp type schedule as far as the time that we put into the fundamental periods, and we call the group period, which is fundamentals for the line, but more it's more group for the perimeter. So that was clearly by design for everybody.
And lest anyone think that only those in the West Coast saw the deficiencies in our line play, oh no, dear listeners, Keith, that of Staten Island, here on the East Coast, saw the same thing as well.
The defensive and offensive lines need to start playing on the other side of the ball because both of them, specifically our tackles on defense, look like they're on roller skates out there. I mean, they're getting pushed all over the place, and you're just not going to win football games.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
Welcome to This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, everybody's favorite segment. Right, Corey?
Yeah.
This week, Steve Hayes over at Packer Geeks has a post about adjusting expectations, how Packer fans should not expect anything better than a 500 season because of a slew of injuries. Colin Jenkins out for the year. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Abandoned ship. Every man for himself. The Packers are going nowhere. I say good day, sir. I say that's ridiculous. This team is way too talented still, despite all the injuries, to even be contemplating a 500 football team. This team is way too good for that.
One of the advantages of being one of the youngest teams in the NFL is everybody gets to learn at the same time. So
everyone's coming up together. It's very true. And I just wrote today, there are a slew of rookies. I mean, last year we had contributions from our rookie class across the board. We had it at running back with Brandon Jackson. We had it at wide receiver with James Jones. Yeah, we had a safety with Aaron Rouse. I mean, these guys stepped up when they needed to. Now it's time for our rookie class, which has basically been represented by Jordy Nelson up to this point, to step up to the plate. You know, we've got Pat Lee, who finally saw his first action against Tampa and looked good.
Jeremy Thompson.
Jeremy Thompson, finally, maybe he'll get activated. But speaking of Patrick Lee, The other post I wanted to highlight in this week in the Packer blogosphere is Railbird Central every week does what he calls, Brian over at Railbird calls, the silver lining.
Silver lining.
Well, whether it's a win or a loss, it's something that was either like wasn't expected or was just a nice development for
that's
the Packers.
That's good. We need positivity because, you know, at 2-2, the glass can be half full or it can be half empty.
And at Railbird Central, it's always half full. And this week, he points out the pretty stellar play from our young cornerbacks, including one Patrick Lee, but also Will Blackman. He got beat once or twice by Antonio Bryant, but overall, another solid performance. And Tremont Williams, you cannot say enough.
Give it up.
About this kid.
Give it up.
I am sorry. This guy keeps getting tested and keeps passing.
Yeah, and you know they're going, I got Charles Woodson or Tremont Williams.
Who are you going to throw at? I mean, really, and he just keeps stoning guys at the line, breaking up passes. Yeah, he's going to get beat every once in a while, but he's so just, he's up for it. He's in guys' faces. He's right in their hip pockets, breaking up passes, and opportunistic. I mean, just another great pick this week. That ball in the air, he doesn't skip a beat. He plucks it right out of the air and runs back 30 yards. I mean,
let me tell you somebody who's not opportunistic, okay?
Uh-oh.
Somebody who should
have. Why are you always
going
to bring me down? See, I keep bringing this up. Like, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm sorry.
And Corey?
No.
You're just bringing us down.
Look, I think that Ted Thompson is a good GM. Okay, that takes a lot for me to say that, but I think he's a good GM.
You do realize we're recording this, right?
Let me show you something where he's not a good GM. Like Packer Geeks picked up on it. I didn't see this article wasn't written today. Tom Silverstein had this article where Derek Frost is quoted. I could not find the audio of the quote
right.
where he basically says he needs something to give him more intensity. Okay, here's Derek
put
Frost.
More pressure on himself.
Yeah, he needs to put more intensity and pressure on himself. That's why he's not performing to his expectations. Okay, I'm sorry, but you're in the NFL.
That's the National Football League, yeah. Mr. Frost.
And you need to be fired.
This is very true. I mean,
I hate it because it sounds like I'm the guy who always is like, you're
fire
fired.
Fire everybody.
I'm
Trump,
right?
You're not.
I'm like, and,
you're not.
And, well, I say that about Bob Sanders.
Because he needs to be fired.
He needs to be fired.
I mean, there's a difference. let's make a delineation here, people. We don't willy-nilly say people should be fired. Bob Sanders should be fired because he should be fired. The
well,
same
he shouldn't
with Derek
be
Frost.
The defensive coordinator, surely.
Exactly. Surely. And don't call me Shirley. But no, Derek Frost, I will admit, I freely admit, I was 100% behind the move to get rid of John Ryan. I thought there was no way, shape, or form that Ted Thompson would cut Ryan on the eve of the season and replace him with somebody who could possibly be any worse. Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
That's what he did.
That's exactly
what
he did.
And I was one of the people that was kind of like... I do have a little emotional attachment to John Ryan because you know what? I like playmakers, okay? And John Ryan was a playmaker, okay?
Wow.
Maybe not as a punter.
It's
okay?
October 3rd, 2008, ladies and gentlemen. And let it be known that Corey Behnke just called John Ryan a playmaker.
He was a playmaker.
A playmaker.
Now, he wasn't necessarily a playmaker as the position
from
he played.
But...
No, as a punter. Oh. But he was a playmaker. When you put the ball in his hands and you needed a first down,
I will say,
he got you a first
down. Certainly did. I will say, the run in Minnesota last year was darn impressive.
Yeah, and he was better than a top 15 punter.
Yes, he was. He was better than a top 20 punter.
Let's hear what Derek Frost has to say about that. So we're going to keep our mics hot just in case.
The sad part is I had a great warm-up, hit the ball great in warm-ups, hit the ball great in practice all week, and just played terrible. So just needs
yeah.
a change.
Yeah, it does.
The sad part?
You get paid for the game, bro.
Really, really. No, the sad part is
the game.
You're punting. That's the sad part. Wow. Because
we
needed was a good punt in the fourth quarter, and, you know, field position changes, you know, possibly the defense can get off the field on third down, get the ball back to the offense. But no, none of that happened.
Well, yeah.
So let's correct that this week.
The offense lost the game. Let's be clear about this.
As much grief as we like to give Bob Sanders, the defense at least gave him a chance to win
the
game. The
defense did their job. All the offense had to do was have maybe two first downs.
And I will say,
maybe.
Second week in a row, the defense kept him in the game. Because until the ridiculous play to Miles Austin up the sideline, they were in that game.
Second week in a row, Charles Woodson kept them in the game.
Yeah, precisely.
Because it wasn't Aaron Campman, who was not triple-teamed or double-teamed.
No, he's just getting stoned by True Blood and by
Maybe
Columbo.
He needs to put a cast back on.
All right. No, but okay, going into Atlanta.
A must-win, should-win, no matter what win game.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
It is.
That's what's scary.
It's like the Jets playing Arizona. Yeah, Favre had six touchdowns, but they were playing Arizona.
Yeah, so this
we're
is a game
Atlanta.
This is a game we should roll. Despite the injuries, we should roll. There's no excuse. McCarthy had him in pads all week. The line play has just got to get better across the board. I don't care who's hurt. It's got to get better.
And you got to see receivers. Donald Driver is open, okay?
Yeah,
it's got to be the Donald Driver, Greg Jennings show, and everybody else just support that show.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
If we throw it, we can throw it on Atlanta.
It can be the
barnyard in the South. I mean, bring the way Atlanta and all these teams want to play to Lambeau, and we can chuck it all day.
No, we can, because we have great receivers. And if Rodgers is healthy, even if Flynn plays, he can hit Driver and Jennings. It can happen. He's got to get a good line. He's got to get a running game. They got to get the running game on track.
If they can't get a running game, though, if they can play check down city, I'm cool with
that,
too.
That's fine. But I don't care if it's Ryan Grant or Brandon Jackson.
Right
now, Brandon Jackson is the better back.
Yep.
And that is scary. That's just scary because Brandon Jackson is not that great. But right
you
now,
never know, though.
He's running the ball better.
You don't know how good Brandon
Jackson
is.
He's seeing the field better. I don't, but I can see a whole lot of inconsistency. I mean,
no doubt.
At least he's
no
hitting
doubt.
Holes, and at least he's running with determination, and at least he's not fumbling the ball. I mean, he's dropping the ball and letting them pick it off, but he's not fumbling when he carries it.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Grant right now is not – this has no vision – And he's not, and he's fumbling
he's
the ball
reliable.
Every game.
He's not
he's
reliable.
He's not reliable whatsoever. Really glad
people
you got that
contract
extension.
People used to get mad about Amon Green, and he's
right.
Amon Green is more reliable than Ryan Grant.
Well, in their heyday, maybe not right now.
In his heyday,
Amon Green
in his heyday.
Can't get on the
I'm
field
just saying,
for
as much grief as Amon got, the only
know,
knock
exactly.
against Amon Green in his heyday
right.
was that he fumbled the ball,
right.
and he didn't fumble that much.
Well, exactly. I mean. He fumbled, but not like
not
Ryan Grant is fumbling now. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the last thing I really want to touch on really quickly is offense has got to convert some third downs. I don't care what you do. Run a reverse. Chuck it up. I mean, whatever.
Well, it's hard to convert a third down when you got a penalty on first down.
I know.
Because of your offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, again, it goes back to line play. Got to shore it up. Sound fundamentals. That's what they've been preaching all week. Let's see it on the field on Sunday.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is there's not one thing. Last year, at least the offensive line could hang their hat on run blocking.
And, or pass blocking.
Or pass block. But
one
or,
the,
one
or
the other.
Right?
This year, nothing. It's neither.
No. It's kind of scary. And it's scary. The really scary thing is the slippage of Tauscher and Clifton. I mean, and everybody sees it. I mean, they had Clifton in pads on Wednesday for the first time since McCarthy was coach. I mean, that doesn't tell you what you need to know as far as Clifton's play. I don't know what does. This Sunday, got to get it done, and they got to kick some butt.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.